know.
I was wondering which one of you would speak first.
I'm shy, so I won't be speaking first in general.
I'm shy also.
No, you're
sure
not.
You are, bud. Well, here we find ourselves again. It's the Loose Screws podcast, and this time it's on January 8th or so. My
8th?
That's what my notes say, because all I did was change the number. It's my fault. It's a joke that I made. It's a trap that I sprung upon myself.
You're a giant ace hole.
Now, I did that for an entire week on standing orders, and no one noticed, and I was so mad.
No kidding.
What are these standing orders you speak of?
It's something in the Discord.
Oh, what is just the something Discord you Discorders speak of?
I'm helpful.
Well, you know, last week we got this. I don't know why I'm just launching into this. Last week we got a YouTube comment that I think was kind of trying to call us onto the carpet for spending like an hour just talking about ourselves.
For the record, last week, I skipped through. Remember, I was like 10 seconds. Like, yeah, barely played less. The game. Nothing going on. Next.
Yeah. So to that person, I don't apologize. Have you not listened to the show before now? Anyway.
Well, what if it was like his first show? Because remember our very first April Fool's episode, we pretended it was a year in the future.
Right.
And we had somebody who joined the Discord, and that was the very first episode they ever listened to. And they were like, so wow, confused.
You people are so interesting. Oh, no. How disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I when I first listened to that episode, I mean, I wasn't the person in the Discord that you're talking about, but it took me about to realize, wait, they're talking about, they're like a year ahead, and then this is like a whole joke. So I was like, that's a good one. And I looked at the date and, you know, figured it out.
Nailed it.
I bet you Alec Turner didn't catch it. He's probably just learning right now that was a gag.
He thought that the Golden Girls thing was the first time we'd ever done a gag.
Well, he's the first person who jumped in to correct us when we did the whole pretending the pre-show was,
Right. I think you guys made a mistake. Oh, God. If it didn't fool anybody else, that would have been worth it. It was amazing. I was so, Alec, I love you. That made me so happy. So happy.
Yeah, we succeeded. That was great success.
Great success. Well, anyway, this is the Loose Screws podcast. Going to be a little calmer tonight. I mean, not that there's any much more going on than there was last time, but hey, we're just going to do the thing. Just the three of us tonight. I'm Commander JN Trax, and joining me is Commander Chig.
Hi. Hello.
You can't out-chicken me. And Commander Bloomingwind.
Hello.
Well,
wanted him right away. What the hell? All right.
So who wants to go first, making that guy on YouTube happy?
Bloomingwind, make the guy happy.
No, you go first, because you were not here last week when we had like 37 of us show up.
Yeah.
So that's true. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I could go all the way back to before Christmas. So, the week before Christmas, we went up and visited the in-laws with all of the fun that visiting the in-laws entails. You know, mother-in-law being mother-in-law.
I guess.
Yeah. And then, you know, the first night we get there, you know, we have dinner at my sister-in-law's, had a really wonderful time, great dinner, all the things. And then the next morning at the hotel, our power goes out because this big nor'easter is rolling in. And my wife has to drive my father-in-law down to Yale for his doctor's appointment. So she's driving through the storm. We have no power at the hotel. And then we get a phone call from my sister-in-law. I don't feel good. I have the COVID. And it was like, and so we just had dinner with my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, and they both had COVID, and but they didn't know it. They got sick overnight, and then we're like, oh, crud. And then fortunately, we dodged that bullet, and more fortunately, my mother and father-in-law dodged that bullet, because my mother-in-law had COVID before, was actually really sick from it, like ICU sick from it, so she didn't want to get it again. And then we came back here for CRISPR, and I worked the following week, you know, covering everything in the damn hospital because all the other, well, my partners were all off. But then everybody got back to the grind, and I've been playing just a ton of Elite doing BGS while I've been in town. And, you know, when I was not in town, I didn't do anything. So that was my last 3 weeks in a nutshell. Did it, was this
very efficient?
Yeah, was it long enough to be annoying for the guy on YouTube who didn't like me talking about my weeks?
Well, at least let's, you mentioned the clock. Elite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did play Elite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
Sweet. Well, everybody's feeling better then?
Yeah, everyone's good. All on the mend, and no one else got it.
Yeah.
With the world, so, yeah.
Great job.
Thank you.
Sweet.
What about you, Chig? What the heck?
Well, I have no in-laws to talk about. I have no COVID to talk about. I did shoot some aliens in Elite. Yes, I played. Woo-hoo! A couple times. And we played twice in the last.
We did a Thursday. We did Thargoid Thursday, which I guess is going to be a regular thing. So background, I finally made somebody in Discord in charge of events who's actually doing events, and it's Volt, and he's just doing all of them and scheduling them out. We've got events, like weekly recurring things scheduled out for a year.
That little eager beaver overachiever.
He had that power for like 30 hours, and he's like, it's done.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, that's good.
I completed that level.
What is he doing his classwork? That's the thing I worry about.
Right.
I think he dropped out of school just to do our events, to tell you the truth.
Well, I guess that makes it okay.
Yeah, as long as somebody's doing it, I don't care about what happens to them in real life. But and we go with Thursday because it drives Adaxius the a-hole crazy that we use alliteration to address activities.
Oh, is he not okay with that?
You didn't see the whole thing in Discord? He
no, that was like probably when I was getting run over.
Why do you think he wanted to schedule another night for Thargoid hunting that wasn't on a Thursday?
I thought it was just because he like has some commitment on Thursdays and wasn't going to be able to be there or something.
No, he hates alliteration.
Oh, no.
So he's been event coordinator for, I don't know, about a year now. And I think this was the first thing he scheduled just so that it, you know, would not be an alliterative event.
Right, right.
Weirdest thing ever to have a massive pet peeve about. And notice pet peeve is alliterative. Jesus Christ, we can get guy from every direction.
And anti-alliteration right now. Adaxius.
Oh, yes. No.
Love you, Adaxius. Stay fresh, cheese bag. but it's been fun to be out flying again. I was like, I swear, even just like a few months ago, I toggled Flight Assist on more frequently than I do now. I am like 100% FA off, and I know I wasn't before, and I don't know when that happened. I just didn't play for a little while, and I came back, and just FA off is just what it is, period, all the time. Yeah, I was like, remember, I told you I used to use it as an aim assist. I just don't need that
anymore
somehow. So it's, I don't know, I'm just not playing for a little while. I got better at aiming with Flight Assist off, apparently. So there's that. Cool. I think they're going to be mining tonight, possibly. It's mining Monday.
Yep, it's mining Monday. Always is.
Tonight, yeah. Rather than trying to make money.
Yeah, they're at the shards, the shard forests, getting raw mats, and it's Volt and Grover Kiwi, and but there are other people I'm not aware of it.
Huh.
Because I was just good on scouting everything out for the squadron update and all that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to jump out to the forests at all. That sounds like work, especially when I think all my raw mats are full. So I have that bad problem of like all of my mats are essentially full. So
yeah, I think my raws have been dwindling a little bit. I did some, you know, I burned through a lot of stuff when I was reloading anti-Xeno missiles a lot. I did some spire site stuff by myself, so I had to clear whole fields of Banshees. So I reloaded AX missiles a lot and depleted several of my raw mats that way. But anyway, it's fine. I was able to refill, I think, trade down. But
yeah, I'm getting low on ruthenium, and that's about it. But there's a neat thing I've noticed in if you're platinum mining on PC, unlike on the Xbox, you can get selenium. So you know,
from platinum fields.
From platinum fields, you can mine you can get selenium, and you know, so I mean, my selenium is like 150. So I can just, you know, trade that down, because you know, I sometimes go mining just to relax. So you know, oh, my selenium's full, great, you know. So that's kind of a good thing. But I was like, the only one that I know of that, you know, that'll drop is selenium.
Neat. I refilled mine doing plant gunning and stuff, driving around on the SRV, you know, finding the other plant stuff. Also, you see stuff on your scope, and I have no problem just driving around in the SUV. I'm not like Alec Turner, who's driven like a light year in the SRV, but I'll put on a lot of kilometers.
I like kilometers personally. I don't know what a meter is. Nobody measures anything in meters.
Kilometer. I'm still trying to bring the fathom back, but as the standard measuring for everything. Yeah, that's what we need to do. But that's how I kind of ended up refilling all of my raw stuff, is just out doing some plant gunning and just driving the SRV all over all and back. So
pretty good idea
that way. So that's let me see. Real life. What did I say? No in-laws, no COVID. Work has been killing it at work. So life's good there. Yeah, that's it. Random guy from YouTube. If we didn't scare you away last week, now we've made you. We've brought you up like 15 times, so now you're like a minor celebrity.
It's probably somebody who never listened to an episode before, wasn't very happy, and is never going to listen again. They're never going to hear this.
Yeah, that's so unfortunate. I hope that they do.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping that we get another comment on YouTube from them this week. You know, something like, you know, one of those "fuck you guys" kind of things. That would make my year, and it's super early in the year. So,
Mr. YouTube friend, if you do hear this, please come tell us off.
please. That would be awesome. Join Discord and private message me a bunch. That would be great too. I love it
when randos DM me.
Yeah, and I never ban anybody. I'll just let you go off until I just finally ignore you, and you can message me 50 times a day if you want. I am amazing at just ignoring you and occasionally saying hi or something. Just, I don't know. I'm a dick.
Well, as for me, yeah, we did a Thargoid Thursday, and then we popped on, I guess last night we did an impromptu, hey, what the hell's going on Sunday, and made another, you know, 300 or 400 million. That's good. I mean, the thing is, Thargoid Combat's a little bit back. They turned a lever right around holiday time to make, I don't know the exact, like it used to be 4 alerts could happen. Now there's 6 or 8 per Titan or something like that. So, you know, nothing, it doesn't seem like any other values have been changed, but that's enough to sort of make it so that there is a little bit of combat at any given time. And yeah, I've liked grabbing a little bit of missions, you know. Little biotech conductors for destroying a Cyclops. There's going to be plenty of Cyclops around.
It so runs for smooth. I was surprised how, I mean, a couple.
It's a lot better than it used to be.
Here and there. Yeah. But yeah, it's very nice. I don't, I like this idea, flying around the stage, that, or that, what are these things called? Settlements. Flying
around, we were at a surface last time.
And you can drop in, I don't know, heal up. No, it's heal, repair. You can land and repair your ship.
Heal up. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Cleric.
So, but.
And there's no swarms on the surface, too. That's why people like them.
Yeah, swarms add some challenge. I mean, how easy is it to kill hydras when there's no swarms? It's
very easy. So this is the balance as I see it. I think the surface sites seem to be more likely to produce basilisks. So we see them in reasonable numbers, whereas at like an outpost or something, you don't necessarily. There's no swarms because they're down at the surface. You get two hydras there. I guess you get two hydras at any station these days. Often you will get a trio of glaives. That's happened at least once per instance, and sometimes two or three times per instance. So that's I think where they're kind of trying to scale the difficulty a little bit. Not that the glaives are super hard, but it does force you to use those repairs that are sitting there because they melt your guns and stuff. But yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, we can also do space stations where there are still missions, just like on the surface, and you can repair just like on the surface. And I think the larger ones, like if Coriolis or something like that is under attack, they might also sometimes produce higher level interceptors, which is nice. And there are swarms out there. So, it will be doing the Thursday thing wherever the invasions and attacked stations happen to be. So, and there's still the regular old conflict zones in their varying levels of intensity. So,
yeah. And I guarantee if you come out and join us in this, you will find it, if you haven't done a ton of Thargoid combat, you will find it challenging and fun. But I think for us, challenging is no longer really there. We killed so many bugs back when we went for our trophy, where we Operation Bronze Medal. We got the trophy. So many of us killed so many bugs then that now a lot of it is almost trivial. And I mean,
there's a few things that have adjusted over, in the updates since the war has started. There's some behaviors and stuff that have changed a little bit, but
they're still incredibly easy to survive. And some of the new things, like the higher capacity, heat sinks that we have.
That's
And the caustic
sinks
that you can, there's a lot of things that even made things even easier. Me, you, and Scotty are out there. All of us have soloed hydras. We can. I'm not going to say we can protect you, but we'll make it so you can make a ton of credits without being too terribly scared.
Really, though, it's that there's a crowd involved.
Yes.
Being with a group changes dramatically. I mean, I get very loose about my flying and stuff because sometimes, the whole Thargoids go down when I don't have a chance to put any significant shots on target. So it's not like... it's not like the highest skilled people are out there like doing the work and everybody else is cleaning up. No, if there's four or more people in the instance, those poor interceptors, like, come on.
Well, yeah. Well, you get, I'm face tanking for fun. Borked, man. That guy really knows how to face tank even a Hydra. I need ammo. I'm going to face tank this and let's get a heart or two. And that's the way that it goes. And yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of that to go around.
Yeah.
But it's just fun doing it in a group.
Yeah. And I'm glad it's coming back because invasions were gone for a little while. And I've really kind of relaxed. But the game, it is what it is, man. And... yeah, if you want high skill Thargoid combat, there's a couple of places you can find it. You can go to where they still control the system and really put yourself to the test. Or you can just go out to where they just patrol and signal sources, just like the old days. You don't have to be even part of this war situation and go pick out your solo interceptors and do the thing, just like always.
Yeah, can you go out to Witch Head still? And
yeah, I mean, the only thing is, some of those behavior changes, like they will bug out and leave on you if you get greater than, I can't remember, 6 or 7 kilometers from them, which is a little annoying because you used to be able to just kite them pretty indefinitely. Mm-hmm. because you're so there's nothing else there, right? And that's you that was your repair time and stuff while their shield was falling. And but anyway, so it's a little bit more complicated than it used to be in that sense, but it's not that bad. So yeah, it's still
and
it's there.
Definitely and it's definitely accessible because we did that first Piranha Knight, that anti-Xeno Piranha Knight at one of the ground systems because there were no swarms. I mean, that was my first interceptor kill. And, you know,
and it you did it in a small ship.
And I did it in a small ship. But then once I said, okay, I'm just going to bring my my crate out. I mean, you know, then it just got to be a lot of fun. And then there were times where I would go out and there were some other people there. I had no idea who they were. Wasn't people from the squadron. And I was like, I feel pretty good out here, you know. And it was because I went out and did it with you guys that it made it, made it something that went from, oh, only the big dogs do this to, oh, it's accessible for me too. You know, the legends do it. And, you know, now I can do it too. It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah. And that's when we're out there, we've had random commanders in there fighting with us too. It's not just us. Yeah. There are random and it just makes it easier.
Thursday was a complete massacre. I made like three quarters of a bill. And because there were some others, there were some aces in there who decided to bring like Corvettes and stuff, which is not something I would ever do, but they were just in that situation. Once again, you really aren't doing it in the way you would fight a Goid by yourself, right? You're not really avoiding the damage. You're just absolutely brute forcing it with the stabilizers that allow you to put six guns on a ship that size. And it's terrible. I saw Cyclops go down in a single trigger pull. you know?
I mean, it's literally at that point, it's like a bunch of us just stomping on anthills when there's that many people in there. That Cyclops die so fast. Bassies die super fast. I mean, that
this isn't a 30-person.
There was fast.
Right. I was just about to say about that. Like, this wasn't a 30-player AXI instance killing a Hydra, but we still got it in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Which like is absurd eight, time eight, on a Hydra. Yeah.
So. We used to take, 45 minutes and shit on Hydras. It was,
I remember.
Crazy.
I remember in fact, you and I did a 2-on-1. And I don't know. I just remember one night we didn't have it together or something. And it took us almost an hour. It's like,
we just couldn't kill the fucking hearts.
That's like the timing on a solo kill is like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah. And the two of us, but
two of us couldn't do it much faster.
But honestly, when you get two people, the way it flies different.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get that nice groove to hit the hearts. So we're trying it. That was actually challenging as F. I remember that.
Yeah. I remember it was almost tougher with two.
It was. Now, didn't one of you kill us in switches?
Now, didn't one of y'all kill a Hydra in like a hauler or something stupid?
No, not us.
No.
Did somebody kill one in a hauler?
Not a hauler.
Hauler's mathematically impossible. Sidewinder was done by Mechan, but only while the Salvation modified Gauss cannon was bugged.
Hammer Gauss. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So the Hammer Gauss had a bug originally where if you synth premium for it, it would do 4x the premium damage per shot because every shot out of the gun, every bolt out of the gun in the burst was a full damage premium shot. So so that's what made it mathematically possible for a Sidewinder. And he did the kill, and there's a video of it. But that was patched out, and that's never going to happen again. But that is too small a damage output.
Got it.
I don't know what the official minimum is needed. And then, you know, AXI has math on this stuff. Like,
well, it's easy. It's kind of easy to figure out on that. Cause it's just, you have to, in order to exert the heart, you have to do enough damage to, you know, outdo the regen. So you have to do more damage than the regen in order to do it. And then you have ammo situation. If you can't, even if you can do enough damage, you can always synth so many times more ammo. So that you know,
well, and you have to be able to exert and have enough ammo left to do some heart damage before reloading, because you won't have time to reload during an attack run, and it'll regen all of its hull if you break off. So
So math, science,
math. There is math for all this stuff. There's math about, like, can you do a standard ammo can standard ammo kill a Medusa with no reloads in this ship. Crates can do it.
Well, like when they were doing the multiple, like a guy killing like eight Medusas or whatever, it becomes a point where mathematically you can't do more because you're going to have to synth ammo to kill them all, but you can only have so many mats to synth that ammo. So
if your mats are totally full,
you can't do more. Yeah.
Right.
But that's the point of AX combat we've gotten to, is where it's to the mathematical possibility of it. It actually does become impossible to do more than what has already been done.
Yeah. Yeah. Until something changes.
These people are crazy.
So that's the game I've been doing. I've been playing a little more AX, and it's been fun again. And, you know, we'll be doing some more of that. In real life, though, I, on Friday, just went out to do some normal errands and got my car smashed.
Idiot.
So there I am just driving. I'm driving along, and there's a crossroad there with a stop sign, and I see this. It's a BMW, like a blue BMW sedan. It's a as much as I saw of it, one of those, like, I don't know, 5.8, 5i or whatever. I don't know what the hell it is. The bigger one. Mm-hmm. And he stopped at the stop sign. So I'm just going along. And all of a sudden it starts to move. And I have time to notice and swerve. So it's on my right side, you know, and I have time to swerve into the other lane. There's no traffic there, so I'm going to avoid it. And then he kept going. It's just amazing because, like, you see somebody who's stopped, and it's like, okay, they're stopped. They're not an issue. They're not running this stop sign, you know? And then it moves, that it just, so panic swerve, and he doesn't slow down. Like, he's really going for it and smashes into the side of my car and spins me around the you know, like 270 degrees. And then I stop the spin, and I have time to, now I'm facing the other way, and I have time to see him. Still going, just full speed, crashes over like a median, runs over some bushes, takes out a big old sign, and on over a little incline as my car comes to a rest and, you know, locks itself up, and the car called 911 and stuff because the side airbag went off. And I'm fine. I had no scratches or anything. Side airbag went off, but it didn't break the glass and stuff like that. So it's pretty lucky. My dogs are making some noise. I guess they're trotting upstairs. Okay. So I'm fine. You know, the police come and I tell them what's going on. Some people stopped. Some other people saw it, and, like, they, you know, gave their statements that match mine and all this stuff. So apparently this guy went on and hit a truck further down the road after me, and then eventually stopped at the grocery store parking lot. And some people found him, then they came, and the cop was, like, interviewing me, and some other guy came and said, "We have the guy over here. He stopped." Because he looked like he was running, right? Because this car just took the fuck off after plowing into me and through me. He looked like he was running, so then he come to find out he stopped. So the cop comes back after he goes to talk to him, and I'm waiting for the wrecker and stuff. And they come back, and he says that the guy stopped. He was not trying to run. He has insurance. He's cooperating, all this stuff. He says that the accelerator got stuck, and the cop's kind of making eyebrows at me, right?
Got stuck by his foot pushing.
Right, away. And he's an older gentleman, so now, basically, I fully believe him. I fully believe that he was stopped at a stop sign. He rolled forward a little bit to see a little better down the road and went to stop again, you know, a meter or two ahead, and hit the wrong pedal. And then when his lovely BMW happily obliged him and accelerated, he panicked and stomped on it even harder. I think that's exactly what happened. And he did a lot of damage ping ponging down the road. So I'm totally unhurt, and I take it he's not hurt either. I certainly didn't hear anything to the contrary, but there's no way my, you know, 11-year-old Ford Focus is worth replacing an airbag and some door panels.
It's a total.
The airbags alone is going to be worth, like, dude, they cost like $12,000 or something to replace. Yeah. So
the cost to repair, you know, get a couple of doors and paint is more than your car is worth.
Yeah,
when, absolutely. When my wife got rear-ended in our truck, it didn't look like much damage at all, and it was like $9,000.
Yep.
And there was
no
airbags. Yep. There was nothing.
Right. So, I've had there was another, years ago, there was another crash that was a lot less damaged than this, and it was like $7,000, which they did fix. But so I'm just waiting at this point, because that was Friday. I haven't heard anything yet today about their evaluation, but I know they're going to total it. It's just a matter of what I can get for it, I guess, out of this guy's insurance. So, so now I'm car shopping when I didn't want to be, because I really was not planning on buying a car, but we really wanted to wait another year or two and just drive this one into the ground a little further. But whatever, that's where I find myself. So
I know a guy who could put you in a nice vehicle.
Yeah.
Chig?
Well, I did already chat with Chig a little bit about, just I had a couple advice. Of questions about advice about dealerships, because I'd heard some funny advice and I wanted to know the actual truth about why I was being told what I was being told. That's a different story. But anyway, we pretty much know I've driven a few things at this point and I know what I want. I just, now it's just once again, it's like I'm kind of being picky about this car because I'm planning on having it for like 10 years. So I don't want to just like not get the options I want. And so it looks like there's like one in the country that has all the, so we might be driving up to Illinois here at some point to pick up a car. At least we don't have to go to Vermont like we did last time.
Wow. That your dealer, the dealer you are working with, did he find it for you or?
No, we're just searching like inventory from the manufacturer.
Specific cars you're looking for, they'll have tools that they can tell you exactly.
Yeah.
You can click everything. And like let's say you were looking at a Stellantis thing, because, you know, that's what I deal in. I could get you exactly what you want and tell you exactly where those cars are anywhere in the country.
I mean, I don't know exactly what system it is, but like the car we're looking at is a Chevrolet. Uh-huh. And on their site, you can basically like configure and it's like, okay, so here's the inventory and you can sort of set the radius. How far out do you want to search? And it'll show you things that are exact and partial matches. And, you know, so that's what we found is like this one, you know, it's less than 300 miles away. Okay. It's not that bad.
See, like if you were in my dealership, I would just get that to my dealership for you.
Yeah. So that's the question is we might see if this guy would do it. Cause if you just on their website, if you're like, bring it to me, it costs almost $1,000 to have them bring it to you. But if I have a dealer do it, it's new.
Okay. New. It shouldn't cost you anything that, you know, okay. we'll talk about them. This another time. I always find it fun. I'm sure Bloomington sees people posting shit or you see people posting stuff about sound or music, you know, and you just kind of stay.
And they have it a little wrong.
Like, yeah. Well, like everybody was talking about like credit scores the other day. And I look at, you know, 100 credit reports a week. You know, I know what people look at and what banks look at and what is actually on actual credit reports, not like something you get on, you know, Credit Karma or something. You know, I see stuff all the time. And I started typing a couple times. I'm like, no, I'm not going to get into a conversation. Nope. That'll just take way too long. But just know anybody in the Discord, any of you that I consider friends, feel free to DM me if you got questions about any of this stuff, car buying, credit questions, anything. It kind of is my jam these days. So,
yeah.
So, but yeah.
I appreciate the advice. I know what you're saying too. I do sometimes not weigh in on things. Anywho. anyway, that's my real life, my stupid real life.
Glad you're okay. I mean, that's really scary. I've had my share of fender benders, and yeah, I mean, if you've got a, you know, all those airbags blew, and you know, the car's at all long in the tooth, it's going to be a total.
So, no question. I'm not even worried. It's just a matter of kind of I mean, whatever, we're going to get the car we wanted, regardless of what they offer me. It's not really coming down to that. But we did kind of, like, we went around to a few dealers and compared a few other things before we settled on, like, oh, yeah, it's going to be this make, you know, make and model. And every dealer I go into, I'm like, hey, listen, I know what your job is. I am not going to buy anything from you today. So please, I don't want to take up much of your time. I just want to get into this car for a few minutes and we're going to take a quick little 5 minute and then we'll be out of your hair kind of thing. Cause I don't want them to think that I'm, you know, because I wasn't ready to buy something, and it's a pretty good excuse to not get into a long conversation about it with any of them until I know I really want to. So, shall we get into the, my game crashed a second ago, by the way, just for no reason. I'm just drifting around my carrier, crashed the desktop. Actually, doesn't happen very often anymore, but worth mentioning. Shall we get into some things about, there's a little bit to actually talk about that isn't just about me and my broken car.
Sweet.
And shall we start with the squad? Oh, you're going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, your broken car is a fan favorite.
I'm so glad.
We've gone 36 minutes.
Yeah.
We've gone just talking about life.
Right.
We talked about killing bugs.
Yeah,
come on, man.
A lot of that was
some bugs. Okay.
We stirred that milkshake all together is what we did. Yes. All right. We're gonna do the squad briefing now. Here we go.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
Alrighty, well, we've got wars still going on, and LTT 10480 is for second place, and then we'll be super control in that system. MCC 858 and Begalis, which were minor players in those systems, and we want to keep it that way, but we would still like to win those wars because we have a couple of outposts that are at stake, and that's actually important because... Rick F. and Dalton just got back from exploring. And when you have a lot of carto data, you can only deliver carto to an outpost or starport that you control in order to get influence from it. So for us to have a foothold in each system that we are a guest in is good because it gives us one more lever to pull when we're trying to raise our influence in a given system. We have V-740 Cassiopeia and 7 Andromeda overheating. Tamor, Bumber, G218-5, and Duroc all need a little bit of boosting. And we already talked about Mining Monday, so I won't talk more about that. And then in other news, we've been doing a lot of work in the last year in upper screw space, the top half of the area of the bubble that we control. And we've grown quite a bit up there. Our options up there are becoming a little bit limited. So we're going to take a break from there, and we're pivoting back down to lower screw space. And so we are going to be planning our next series of expansions down there with the next one out of Snooky Zion. So we will be trying to boost that system up in the coming days. All the details for this are in the standing orders tab in our Discord. And any questions you have, come to the Loose Screws Factions channel, and we're all happy to talk about it. So that's the squad update.
Superb.
That's a cool
fantastic
sound.
Yeah. Hey, that's
can
cool.
We can we record again? That?
I think I have that. Hold on. Let's see.
So, how about we do a squad update? bang. Squadron update. But I just gave you what you put when the squadron update's over, so everybody knows that it's over.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a squad update closing clip. Okay.
Yeah, because see, I woke up when it was over, but I didn't know it was over.
Yeah. If we only had a sound engineer to extract that sound later on.
You guys know I don't do work on this show.
You're aware.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that would be like me giving medical advice on the show.
Right. I've engineered this to require as little input from me as possible. I have preset EQs for all of your channels. Like whenever we do a show, whoever is on the show, I just drag your tracks in my mix session up to the top and then put your audio on that track. You're already pre-EQ'd and everything.
Those are words.
Yep. Anyway, so what else is going on here? Well, just a couple of stuff that, of course, I just learned from the Burr Pit news video. but that's fine. I can repeat it to this crew in case anybody doesn't catch up with the Burrs in time.
Hey, careful. Plagiarism is tough these days. You gotta make sure. Oh, no, you're citing them. Never mind. We're all good.
That's right. I cited them fair and square. That's right. This is from the Burr Pit, Witch Space News for Friday, the 5th of January. This is where I heard about this brand new exploration tool. For those of you interested in exobiology, especially, I think, but I think there's a lot of it. There's a lot of other things that it can help with. The SRV Survey Exploration and Exobio Tool from Commander Grinning 2001. And there's a link here. It's to the GitHub where you can install it. And I think it does some fun overlay things, but it does nice things about explaining to you the radius which you must exceed to find further genetic diversity when you're driving around in your SRV. I think there's quite a bit of other things that it can do too. Not even scratching the surface, but it does some fun overlays on your game. So if you're into that kind of thing, this tool, I'm told by reliable sources, is invaluable.
Mm.
Any questions? Because I can't answer them.
I don't even know what to ask, because honestly, I haven't done anything.
Where do we download this tool? Yeah, where do we download this tool?
Well, you can follow the link that's in the show notes.
Show notes?
Yep. Or you can go to github.com/a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to say out because it's long.
I have a new plan. I am going to private message Reenie and tell her to send me a link personally, because I'm a very important person.
That's true. You should. And she'll get Burr to respond.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
The fish will come down with a audible slap.
Fish and tea are heading my way again. God damn. Just rewind the last like 37 seconds and just erase it from the show, please.
Oh, no, it's going in.
He is garbage. I mean, go on.
So since this show, you know, there isn't any other elite stuff besides squad update and community corner things in the show, because there just isn't nothing's happened.
Well, what about the days are numbered thing that Canon found?
Oh, yeah, I had forgotten about that. So somebody found that if memory serves me, someone recorded a sound that they picked up near their own fleet carrier, right?
Correct.
Was it in the DSS or the FSS? Excuse me.
Was it
just like the? Okay, so their fleet carrier was near a Titan, like it was near AX space, and they focused on their fleet carrier in the FSS scanner and recorded the sound. And I looked at the spectrograph and I think it's pretty plain as day. It says something about days are numbered. Pretty unmistakable, I have to agree. So unless it's a hoax, and Canon shared it, so I'm thinking not a hoax, hopefully.
They don't typically participate in hoaxes.
Yeah, they would vet that it was real before they would share it, I would think. So that is vaguely interesting. What would that be, though? Now something's leaping to my mind. Yeah. There's a number of questions, but it's in English, so it has to be humans doing it. So that makes me think, like, the only possibility is
salvation.
The people who are being released. Well, salvation. Now, I hadn't thought of that. I was thinking, like, the people who were victims of the Titan and that the Alliance is releasing.
That's
they're letting them go home to their families.
But I don't know why that would be.
I would do it on fleet carriers.
Well, yeah, and like the hiding the message. See, That's one thing I love about this game is the crazy shit like that. Who thinks to run these sounds to a spectrometer or whatever the hell it's called? Yeah. Is that what is it?
Spectrograph.
A spectrograph. There we go. Thank you. Not a spectrum spectrometer. Instead, it's a spectrograph. So
yes.
So I love when stuff like that is the game, and then you start, you know, digging in and that. Well, where could this come from?
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing about it that I have is, does anybody know, did anybody look at this before? You know, this could have been in game a long fucking time and somebody just now discovered it, then got confirmation. So, you know, some people are like, ooh, next patch, we could have something, but this could have been in the game for literally since the Titans arrived.
Yeah. Right. Have they compared it to other, things that were scanned, like planets? Yeah, stations, stuff like that.
Or a fleet carrier at a different location. I mean, the fleet carrier in question, in the Reddit thread, they said that they were near the war zone, but does that even matter? I don't know. I don't have a spectrograph on this computer that I could easily hook up, or I would just point it at my fleet carrier right now, but I do not.
I'm wondering if we can advertise for... Niebla's artisanal tritium, you know, so that their fleet carrier, if someone does a spectrograph, they'll say, buy Niebla's at Lambda Andromeda.
They'll point their FSS at you and they'll hear a radio ad. No, that'd be even, like, spectrograph be damned. Like, we need to get in people's earballs. It's like, they point over there and it's like, if it's not, how do you, I've been pronouncing your carrier. Yes, it's
If it's not Niebla's, it's just sparkling hydrogen.
Sparkling hydrogen. That's right.
Earballs is actually genius because you need to get a sound in order to see the message.
Right.
You're a genius. Can't believe you smashed your car. Wow.
I didn't smash the car. I almost avoided it.
Almost.
Almost. Horseshoes and hand grenades, as I said to my daughter later.
And apparently driving right now. Oh, yeah, earballs and put messages. That would be something they should let us add to the game. Random hidden messages. There's going to be a lot of penises.
For arcs, you can draw a penis in audio on your fleet carrier.
That people with eyeballs can look at. Earballs can earballs. Hear and look at. We're so dumb.
Well, you're right. So that's something I'd forgotten about. I don't know if you have one of you wants to dig up the Reddit thread about that, I can put that in the show notes.
To stay off Reddit as best I can.
Yeah, me too. Lark or somebody shared it earlier in the week in our Discord. The other community thing that's going on is the first great planetary expedition is having a reunion, I guess. So Alec Turner was in charge of this at the time and is, I think, in charge of it again. But it was this group circumnavigation of a planet in SRV vehicles. Surface... Surface Recon SRV vehicles.
Can you get me the VIN number for your car, please, sir?
Yes, exactly. So the link to their Discord server you will find in the show notes. And the event is, since it's a recreation of the original event, it needs to happen in legacy mode, since that's the only galaxy that existed when this event originally took place. That also means that flying out to this planet and participating in this event will not prevent your live commander from continuing to do whatever the heck they want to do. They will not be stuck during the weeks it takes to circumnavigate this planet, because Legacy is a completely different galaxy and has no interactivity. So,
Jesus Christ.
What?
I just, the whole thing with Legacy and regular and just makes my head hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm not.
Well, in this case, it seems like a good thing.
Yeah, I'll just go with them on my console, apparently. Can I do that?
Am I right?
Am I right?
I don't think you can find them on your console.
God damn it.
Because like all of Legacy doesn't cross platform. It's like right, each is its own when like it became, Earth.
Imagine when they went to Legacy and Live, they were like, they finally combined it and Legacy is now a merged galaxy between console and PC. You asked for it. Here it is. Yep. And it's segmented from the live game.
And it's an Xbox VR. Is that something?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Man. Yeah. So for those of you who might want to help reenact the first great planetary expedition, that makes me wonder, was there a non-great planetary expedition?
Well, it would just be any random planetary expedition. This was the great one.
But it's the first great one.
The first great yeah. one. Oh.
Oh, well, I guess this is the second great one then.
This is the second. Yeah.
So well, the original was the first.
Right. Who decided that the first one was great, by the way? Who judged that and decided that?
I think it must have been Alec, right?
Well, all right. I guess that checks out.
You know, see, now you're not gonna, you were all ready to come down on him, but
well, I want to be nice to Alec.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as he's playing, you know, the Golden Girls theme while he's doing it, I'm fine with the entire thing. Okay. That's got to be the theme for this expedition. Thank you for being a friend.
All the way around the planet.
All the way around the planet. How long does it take him to go around the whole planet? We could probably do some math. The size of the planet and the speed yeah, I mean, of the SRV.
Depends, Alec of course, Turner greatly.
Will do it. Yeah, Alec Turner will do it like way faster than anybody. I'm going to admit right now, I have no idea how to make an SRV go that fast.
No, I can't get nearly. I can do a little bit. I can do the flying thing. I've actually got okay at that compared to how I used to be. But the speed and accuracy, but mostly the speed is the thing that it's hard to imagine.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Still.
I can get going a little bit above what I can go normally just driving
right.
kind of flying, but I can't get that exponential speed boost. That
right, you. Right. The speed is much more consistent above the surface as well, because you're not always running into rocks and shit.
You're getting spun around and vomiting on your shirt and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
Almost never vomit anymore now that I'm flying.
Yes,
exactly. Very little. Very but low levels of vomit.
The only way to travel across the surface, other than just getting in your fucking ship and flying, you know, way faster. But I digress.
Well, that's what you should do then. Turn up, join the Discord, turn up on the day, and just fly your ship.
Fly my ship around and be like, I win.
Just fly. No, just stay with them. Yeah. Just fly your ship
just
above
ahead of them.
Them.
So I win.
Just, yeah. They'll come up to a mountain.
What
have
are you
to
guys
go around.
Doing? How easy this is.
Or just fly in front of them in reverse. It's like the guy
right,
running backwards.
You're like the drone camera at a football game.
Yeah.
I'd have Alec and Burin Reedy asking why the hell I'm back on the show now. I don't show up for like 2 months, peace and quiet. Now I just come and just start making fun of everybody. My God, I'd apologize, but I'm really not sorry, guys. Love you.
Yeah, well, that's all the content I have.
Well, what about, hold on, one last one is... Yeah.
Any other business, as they say?
Well, Lark Shadow brought up Detouri's new videos.
Oh, tell me about it, because I haven't watched any yet. Is it a new YouTuber or somebody who's sort of established but is switching into Elite?
His videos are very clean, well put together. He just put out a tutorial on how to take up piracy. And, you know, he does it, you know, using like a non-engineered ship, if you want, and just goes through the basics of piracy. You know, what ships would be good, what weapons you should probably do, how to slow the ship down, how to use hatch breakers.
Yeah.
But really, the video is like the perfect length. It's like 15 minutes or so and very concise. Doesn't get in any, you know, there's different ways of doing things that if you've played for a while might be an easier way of doing it. But for newer players or somebody who's never done piracy, very concise, very well put together, very clean video. If this is his first, you know, video or third video or something, I'm even more impressed. I'm sure he's done some video editing in his life, but it's I'm impressed, and I'm glad this guy's putting this stuff together, because anything to help newer players, I highly, highly approve of, because this game will only die if we don't get new players.
Yeah. And it's not too serious either. That's the other thing. I mean, okay. It's not the sort of thing where, you know, you have to build your AX ship this way or you're wrong. It's more, you know, these are ways you can do this. And it's kind of, he keeps it loose, which is pretty good. But also echoing. Right, yeah. And then echoing Chick's comment about new players. I've been I'm on the Facebooks occasionally, and I'm on the elite sites on Facebook. And there's a lot of players that are like coming to the game and or revisiting the game or whatnot. And I've actually recruited a couple of them to the Discord, but it's just one of those things where, you know, for a game that came out in 2014, there's still some people that are coming, people that are new, people that are like, well, what do I'm in the Nubula now? What should I be doing while I'm here before I go out into like real space? So the game is still attracting people.
Mm-hmm, I have noticed that also. I just don't like posting on Facebook like ever. I'm a big Facebook troll. Lurker. I lurk quite a bit, so I see that. And I have a couple times in the past. It's probably been a year since I've seen a new player that I posted, hey, you should come check out Loose Screws. But I highly, highly encourage, if you're watching and you're not afraid of trying to encourage people to come here, do it. It's a good place, because you're right. There are almost daily some new players posting some stuff about how, oh my God, I can't believe this game exists. It's so cool. Or somebody randomly, I'm coming back to the game and man, I sure would love to have some people to play with. So, you know, posting something, encouraging them to find our Discord. And, you know, we've got events planned for the next year, apparently. So I get them invited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we got Bork's bank of bank, you know, helping out some of those new players.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I still think they need to earn it a little, though.
I have so many freaking credits, literally, same thing. Just message me, you know, it's just a matter of timing when I'm in-game to when you're in-game. But I'll give credits for anything. You know, Bork has funded a lot of freaking fleet carriers, man. Yeah. I mean,
Volt, I'm not on at the same time as people, so I gave Bork most of my money.
Oh, nice.
Maybe so that he could just pass it on to other people. So just
bank of Bork for sure.
Yeah.
New players, definitely, if you need some help, or, you know, let's say you're not brand new, you've earned your way to like an Anaconda, but you're not like A rating it because you can't or something. I don't know. I can give you a million credits for no reason whatsoever. Make me laugh.
I tend to think that if you credits are not really the hard part of the game.
No.
So if you are skipping credits just to buy ships, you're probably missing out on gameplay that you should be enjoying instead.
Yes.
But for people who have been at it for a bit and they're kind of just trying to get over the hump to fleet carrier zone, I think that's mostly what Borgt is doing with all this money. Is just fully funding fleet carriers so nobody has to like do a 3-month grind or on
he
anything.
He gave a guy a billion credits just so he would not buy a Type 9 and got him into a Type 10.
Yes, and I argued with him quite a bit about that.
I witnessed that. I didn't like the fact that he just dismissed the Type 9 either, because the Type 9 is, as far as cargo ships, very, very useful compared to the Type 10. Yeah. But
as the vice president of the T10 fan club, I will say that, you know, I have a T9 and I used my T9 for cargo, and I probably made some mistakes building it because I was really trying to go for jump distance rather than defense. And so I would occasionally get pulled by an NPC and I would get occasionally killed. And I was just like, you know, this sucks. And so I just would jerry-rig my mining T10 to be cargo. And, you know, I was like hauling half as much as I could, maybe two-thirds as much as I could in the T9. But I was like, I'm not dying. And I'm like getting mats and bounties for all these guys that pull me. So, Yeah, I was very happy to, you know, take the extra time at that point until I got my cutter. But I still I now for loading and unloading my fleet carrier and delivering that delicious Niebla's artisanal tritium.
That's sweet so, blue gold.
That's sweet blue gold. I deliver it, you know, anyone who needs it and puts a buy order in and lets me know. But in all seriousness, I mean, I still use my T9, but I use it as a shieldless, just back and forth between a starport and a fleet carrier. That kind of a thing. And I don't really run into too much trouble. Occasionally some guy pops into my instance of my fleet carrier and it gets incinerated by security. But you know.
See, I'm a type 9 and type 10 Bobo too. I'm a type 10. I absolutely love the type 10, but it's right tool for the job if you're just transporting something.
They're almost non-overlapping ships in my
exactly.
opinion. Like I get that you've just described a place where they do overlap, but in my opinion, they're, you know, and the story kind of backs this up too, right? It was like this desperate move to create battleships by the Alliance that causes the Type 9 to get all this shit bolted onto it. It's sort of a cool story, but
that's
it means they're not
aerodynamic space.
they're not, you know, remotely overlapping ships. It's not like the two Krait ships. Like, there's some overlap there. There's considerable overlap. They're both fairly well suited multi-purpose with shifting stats in one direction or the other, right? These, I don't think, are at all, right? Then I just said, but you outlined a scene, you know, you said, okay, well, you're giving up some of your cargo space, but you like it better. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, but then... Whatever. Are we having this conversation? But then the Anaconda beats it. This is the thing. So here's the thing. If you're getting run down and blown up in your Type 9 running cargo, you can fit more cargo and have the defense, you know, probably approximating your Type 10's defense with an Anaconda, and you'll have better jump range doing it, and you'll run more cargo.
But it doesn't look as cool.
I don't know. The Anaconda looks fine. I like the way the deck guns look when you're sitting in the cockpit. That's pretty sweet.
I like the cockpit of the Type 10 and the Type 9. It's a bridge.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Anaconda looks dumb.
And the thing is, like, just the I want my Anaconda, the whole like, you know, when the player like starts playing, they're like, I want to get that Anaconda. I gotta get to my Anaconda. That I'm like, well, yeah, you could fly out to Hutton, but I'm like, I didn't want an Anaconda on principle because of all of the people like, I got to get my Anaconda. I'm like, I'm not going to get one. It's going to be the last ship I get, you know? And I finally broke down and got one because I have all of these paint jobs, all of these free paint jobs, and, you know, from all the Twitch drops and everything. And I got all these Twitch jobs. And it's like, I don't have the ship I can put them on, you know? So I finally broke down and I decided, you know, for those salvage missions for BGS where it's like, scoop up this, you know, black boxes and stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to make a dedicated ship for that. And there's no, I could use my Corvette, but I don't want to use my Corvette for that. And so I just made an Anaconda for that. And I like it. So
there you go.
And see, I like, don't like the Anaconda because, well, I'm not a fan of the aesthetic, and B, I hate, like, its turning speed in Super Cruise drives me nuts. Not that the Type 10's any better, but, like, it's
literally the worst.
Yeah. It's, the Anaconda, you know, it's exploration ship, it's the best exploration ship, blah, blah. No, it fucking is not. I don't care. Jump range is not the end all and be all, and for me, especially exploring, turning in Super Cruise is a big thing that I need to do quickly, because sometimes you space out, you fly by a planet, you've got to turn around, and if it's going to take me a day to do that, I hate the ship, and that's why I hate the Anaconda.
Yeah,
my explorer just was great.
I pretty much don't like any large ship. I don't know. The Type 9 might be my favorite because the only thing you can do successfully in a Type 9 is move cargo and fuck around. And the only thing I'm likely to do is fuck around.
Yeah.
See, I love the Type 10. Well, I love the cockpit. You know, the cockpit's just super cool. To me, it just looks like a spaceship. and third pack owns.
I've flown all the largest except the Beluga. I've never flown a Beluga.
Wow.
But I just don't, it's not a ship that I feel like flying when I'm just sitting down to play. You know, like I don't hate the way any of them look or anything like that. I get the big wide cockpit. That's cool. But for me, I like to be able to move fast and turn fast. And also, you know, I don't think there's anything that I can't do in my zippy medium ships. You know, I'm not the one bringing my Corvette to bear. If what needs to be done is high intensity conflict zones, I'm not bringing a Corvette. And I think I can take them out solo as fast as any of you in your Corvettes. So, I mean, you know, to each their own, but that's where I'm landing. I haven't flown my Corvette in ages. And it's just because I like a different style of fighting and stuff. So,
yeah. I just like speed. The big ships, I just don't like the lack of speed. Yeah. And you're just such a big fucking target.
Yeah, big target. I've also been, like, slowly but surely just completely replacing all my gimbaled guns. I'm keeping a few around because actually there's a few ships that can't really use fixed guns because their shit is too far apart. The Mamba, for example, one of my favorite ships.
Well, what about your
favorite
ship? A couple
of those hard points are way too far apart. The Clipper, yeah.
Your favorite ship, right?
Yeah, the Cobra. I flew a Cobra in some kind of combat the other. I guess we did a Cobra night some weeks ago.
Wow.
And yeah, I quickly discovered that you can't use fixed guns in the smalls. They'll miss ships because they're too far apart. So I had to put gimbals in there. But anyway, if I can avoid it, I'm using all fixed guns. So, yeah. Although I put fixed guns on my Corvette too, so I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Yeah, I was all rail guns on my Corvette at one point.
That's funny as hell.
Like Corvette's, it's not a nimble ship, but it's compared to the other large ships,
right,
it's nimble right. enough that you can use fixed guns on it, especially
you
if you boost turn and stuff. I had
boost aim. With that.
Yeah, boost aim. Exactly. That's right. What it is, because all of a sudden it's like that little fucker's getting away. You boost, and also you're turning faster. And yeah, I don't know. I've got no problem using a Corvette, but same as you, I'm just kind of bored most of the time when I get in there with a big ship. If I'm in there, it's for the lulls with my, you know, Type 10 with all pack hounds. I'm in there for the lulls in a big ship, and then I don't remember the last time I flew my Corvette or an Anaconda or. What other? I bought a Beluga one time. You said you've never flown it. I bought one, engineered as best I could, you know, without experimentals, and then flew it out of the station. Went, yeah, no, turned around, landed it, and I don't think I've flown it since. So,
but isn't that the ship that would be the best packhound platform? Maybe you should revisit. I think it has the greatest number of.
I don't like
size two hard points.
The big dong looking ship. I just know. I'll stick with what I got.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, like, I remember when I was like, because the Orca can fly so fast, I'm like, this could be fun for, you know, AX. And then the distributor is so fucking tiny and pathetic. It's like, nope, this ship is absolutely horrible for
doesn't
this.
Work.
It's terrible.
Dolphin's almost better.
Oh, yeah. In a lot of ways. Yeah.
Because it only has two small guns. We did a big AX fight with Dolphins. We did eventually put that together. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's always fun to try to mix it up a little bit. And I feel like when we do things like this, it's just to placate Lark Shadow. Let him know that we can use any goofy configuration of a ship. And
if it's a combat challenge, then that's... See, I don't think I'm doing goofy configurations. I'm just trying to, you know, I do it in a Dolphin? Right. Right, I suppose.
You're maxing that Dolphin.
I am maxing the Dolphin to be efficient at whatever, you know, foolhardy task I'm trying to set it to.
He's getting angry it can't carry more SRVs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But that's the fun in it. But that's the fun in it for you, Trax, is that, I mean, you like tinkering under the hood and trying to come up with the best configuration for
whatever crazy yeah. we do. You know,
I love shipbuilding. I love shipbuilding, yeah. and it's not to try to fit SRVs into things.
No, I still think SRVs should be ammo.
They should restock when you should, right. should be able to synth them.
And yeah, synth them and launch them at things and
fill them through full of bio waste and just
launching a fighter in a Hazaras, you launch an SRV, can barely maneuver and has its little repeater, but hey, what the hell, it'll be fun. Let's do it. Just saying.
Okay.
But we should also be able to jump out of our ship and shoot shit with lasers if we want to. With a hand yeah. laser. But let's not get started on that. We should do that, like a wish list of what we want to add to the game when we got more people here one night. A fresh, fresh list of random shit we want to add to the game.
A fresh list. So. Oh my God.
All right.
Okay. We down? Yeah. We're, yeah, we're done. We're done.
I think we're done.
Yeah, sweet. I think that's going to do it. So if you like the show and you want more of this, you got to do a few things for me. You got to like and subscribe and all that crap. And you got to come join the Discord.
You send him to. A self-addressed stamped envelope and he will nope. send you locks of his hair.
What?
What? Wait, what? Locks what? From his beard.
No. There's... Okay, so there's a link to the Discord in the show notes. There's also a link to our Patreon if you feel so inclined. And, you know, but join the Discord because that's where the fun begins. Oh, my God. So this is just one last thing before we close out. For some reason, I had cause to say that phrase in Discord the other day, right? Here's where the fun begins for one of our, maybe it was on Thursday. I don't know, for Thargoid night. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to find that GIF, right? Here's where the fun begins. And of course, I get Han Solo, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also get fucking Anakin Skywalker in like Star Wars 3 or something. Did George Lucas literally have him say Han Solo's line? What the fuck?
Well, yeah.
God damn it.
You like to reuse dialogue.
You're trying to get me started, aren't you? You're trying to start talking Star Wars. God damn it.
God damn it, prequels. Anyway.
Well, one other thing you got to join the Discord. Discord for is we are actually still, once again, the idea of a stupid Loose Screws meetup. I mean, a Loose Screws meetup has been discussed, not a stupid Loose Screws meetup.
Yeah.
And
if you're not in the Discord, you're not going to know about it.
You're not going to know about it, which is probably better for you. But
stay healthy. Stay out of our Discord.
I want to hear like more ideas of where we should host this. Like somebody said Vegas, which is a good idea. But Lark Shadow said, but Vegas is really expensive. But Vegas is like one of the least expensive like vacation destinations you can find.
Yeah,
you get dirt cheap shit and eat buffets and die of food poisoning.
Yeah, they really have sculpted the whole air travel situation to try to get people into and through Vegas. It's a hub, so I don't know. It doesn't strike me as an expensive place to have it, frankly. But
It used to not be expensive. It seems like it's just out of date. Yeah, I think it's gotten expensive because, my daughter was looking at going with her girlfriends because one of them turned 21. And then when we found out how much my daughter was going to have to pay for her to go, we're like, yeah, you're not going. So, because
you haven't like, told them yet. This would really blow the lid off the whole thing.
No, we said she told them she's not going for medical reasons, but because she has to have like a test.
The medical reason is it's too expensive.
Yeah, but
my dad's a doctor. He said no. That's a medical reason, right?
Yeah,
doctor's orders.
Well, the dad doctor's doesn't want to pay for it, you know. So
right. Okay, we are actually getting out of here though. But so right. Thanks. This was a fun chat, and as always, and. You can you dear listener can find us chatting about our lives instead of about Elite next week in this same bat time and same bat channel. That's it.
Anyway.
Yeah. Like and subscribe. See the notes. Okay. Bye.
Later.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.